It's football time in the National Football League. It's not football time in Houston. Sadly, this weekend, the Texans will not play a game. There are two games on Sunday. We talked in the last edition of Headlines about the two games taking place on Saturday at noon on Sunday. The New England Patriots host the Los Angeles Chargers. New England, a four-point favorite against those Chargers, led by Philip Rivers and his bolo tie.
We still haven't gotten a straight answer on how Philip Rivers came to choose that Western attire as his favorite.
Yeah, how
I get a
develops.
Bunch of responses like, that's standard Western wear. That's what he's always worn. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. I'm asking why. Again, I cannot reiterate enough times how stupid the NFL seeding process is, where the Chargers have a better record, but because the Patriots won their division, the Chargers have to travel to New England across the entire country and play at 9 a.m. on their biological time on Sunday against the New England Patriots, who are just lethal at home.
Yes.
I'm picking the Patriots in this game. I don't want to. It sickens me. I didn't have to do it, but I have to do it.
Now, the Chargers have played well. I mean, their only bad performance in the last month or so was the loss against Baltimore on that Saturday, which they obviously made up for last weekend.
They avenged it.
The way that it should work, I think, would be, hey, if you win your division, you get a playoff. You get into the playoffs, but maybe not do it the seedings the way they do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that they haven't been bad, but their offense hasn't been as prolific the last 5 weeks. Like
Melvin Gordon, that's why.
They've sputtered down the stretch. Right, yeah, Melvin Gordon's playing through
both
two
knee
injuries. And the good thing is, okay, this question, Melvin Gordon's playing through two knee injuries. The Patriots are horrendous against the run. Like, which one wins out there? I guess I would take Melvin Gordon with the battered knees, because other lesser running backs have run on the Patriots defense.
And who's their other running back?
Eckler.
I forget. Yeah. That guy isn't bad. So that could be someone who gives them trouble. We've seen in the past Corey Grant give the Patriots trouble last season.
Yeah.
I think for me, the key is, okay, the pass rush is going to get to Tom Brady, because it did last season when the Chargers played the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski's not going to be the weapon that we've seen from him in years past.
I like this.
The game between the Chargers and Patriots last season, the Patriots threw the ball to their running backs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chargers didn't really have an answer in that game for that. Is Derwin James the kind of player who's going to limit those little check down passes that are maybe swings to being like 4-5 yards as opposed to like 10 and a first down? I think that's the big difference in this year's game. I'm going to get pressure up the middle. I think the Chargers win.
I'm still picking the Patriots, but I like what you're saying over there.
And unfortunately picking the Pats.
The one guy that might be a key in this game, a guy that's taken 3 full years for me to completely embrace as a player and as a person, Joey Bosa! Bosa!
Yes!
Joey Bosa with a penetration last week.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa disrupting the unstoppable force that was the Baltimore Ravens. Joey Bosa!
Hey.
We need a big game out of Joey Bosa.
Forget about
Sunday.
It. Well, I mean, we don't necessarily need a big game.
I think his brother's kind of selfish.
Remember, I'm trapped in the closet. I can't really say who I'm rooting for in this game, but I think. Look, I haven't had a good fortune this season picking against this specific team, as evidenced in Week 1 picking the Texans to go into Foxborough and win, but I think the Chargers are going to do it. I just don't think that this is a good Patriots team. I think that's how I end it. The other game on Sunday, the New Orleans Saints, they are 8-point favorites against Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles, who will never die. And it is frustrating as hell. I don't want the Philadelphia Eagles to enjoy any success. I don't want their fans to enjoy any success. They weren't ready for it. They can't handle it. Sorry, Chris Jones behind the glass. Can't deal with it. The Saints in this one, the last time they played the Eagles, they killed him.
Yes.
It was a blowout to the max. I don't see it going that differently this time around. It's in New Orleans. Why would you ever want to play a game in the Superdome? How can you win a game in the Superdome, even if the Dallas Cowboys did it?
This is in this Eagles defense, which has outperformed expectations, like, say, versus the Texans. They haven't genuinely had that secondary tested in a few weeks. And the Saints will. In the Saints, let's remember, they don't really have the great wide receiving core.
As you pointed out,
they can test that, but they are playing on turf in the dome in New Orleans. And then that Saints defense as well. Like, I think the Saints defense with my buddy, Aaron Glenn, former teammate, Seth Payne coaching tree.
Done a good job.
Defensive backs, they've done a good job. That defense is very intimidating and very effective in the Superdome.
I would tend to think that the Eagles' run comes to an end, and Seth has pointed out that the Saints, despite having a prolific offense, don't have like a ton of great weapons like you may think. But in this game on Sunday, they will feature heavy doses of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara.
I'm dumb, by the way, because I confused the look of the AT&T Stadium with the Superdome. That game actually where the Saints lost was in Dallas. So, yeah. I mean, like, it's as simple for me as the Saints are at home and they have all sorts of weapons. And the Eagles secondary, they're not good. They aren't. I mean, last week, you're going up against a guy in Mitchell Trubisky who I think has a lot of deficiencies right now as a quarterback. Could he work through them? Possibly. But you saw them getting absolutely picked apart at the end of that game. Once the Bears figured out that they could just run double moves on that one Eagles cornerback, like, it was over. And it was Allen Robinson that was doing it. Imagine what's going to happen when it's Michael Thomas or any of the other Saint receivers.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because one of the things that's kind of slowed the Saints down was that their offensive line was banged up. And I believe they're completely healthy now. So that's a big deal. You're going to have a chance to test that secondary of the Eagles.
This is true.
The other games this weekend, the Saturday games, and all of these games you'll hear on Sports Radio 610, your home of the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're hosting the Indianapolis Colts Saturday. That's at 3:30. That's tomorrow. Kansas City, 5.5-point favorites. The Rams, they host the Dallas Cowboys. That game's 7:15 in Los Angeles.
Colts, Chiefs, you know how I feel about that. This Pierre Desir is getting all this credit like he personally shut down DeAndre Hopkins and not DeAndre Hopkins' own clavicle shut. That's what happened. DeAndre Hopkins' own clavicle shut down DeAndre Hopkins. He's playing with a separated shoulder in the second half.
Maybe I have not gone to the areas of the media where they're doing this, but I haven't seen a lot of this.
Like every single time, like every podcast I've listened to, I've seen several write-ups about just how marvelous Pierre Desir was because he, I think Brian Baldinger did something on one of his Baldy breakdowns, which I usually like until I saw that nonsense.
Yeah.
Dan Orlovsky, by the way, had a really good breakdown of Deshaun Watson's interception. It made me feel a little bit better about it. The Colts did a really good job of making Deshaun think that they were in man coverage, and then they shifted into zone, as we all saw.
Yes.
But and this is something we'll talk about Kylie a little bit. Without getting too heavy into the X's and O's, the Colts are doing some really cool things on defense.
I think that's the most interesting game of the weekend, just because of everything happening. And these games are all good, obviously. I think probably Saints-Eagles might be the weakest game on the schedule. I mean, it's the second round of the playoffs, so they're going to be good games. But you look at everything going into Arrowhead tomorrow. The Chiefs, how great they've been this season. Mahomes, the guy who's like saved football in Kansas City, how bought in people are. And yet, they're walking around today in Kansas City just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And they are facing such a dangerous team that if you look at the advanced stats, the Colts have been playing like one of the two or three best teams in football for the last 6 weeks.
The Chiefs game, that's on Saturday?
Yes.
I think I looked at the weather forecast this morning. I think it's like 32 degrees and raining.
It might snow.
Freezing rain is by far the sloppiest of all conditions. I've noted this over time. Freezing rain creates messes. Like, it's worse than snow. It's worse than rain. It's worse than ice.
You playing it?
Just from watching on television. You know what I've seen? From watching the Patriots, actually, because they've had a couple times where they've had freezing rain, and that's where Tom Brady has been at his worst. Like, Tom Brady can overcome all these other conditions. It's freezing rain. Yeah, and I guess sleet would be the same thing. It just weird things to the football.
Just living in that. It's just terrible.
It's what kills airplanes, freezing rain.
Does it?
Yeah, because it turns to ice immediately when it hits the wings. So
well, that's
sometimes
scary.
You build up. If you fly through freezing rain, you don't have anti-icing, it'll build up ice faster than the...
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So just like... So the wings just weigh more?
It weighs more, but it also loses its aerodynamic shape.
Ah, and it doesn't like wiggle?
So it doesn't have the perfect curve there for whatever the Bernoulli principle. So, and it's the extra weight. There's all these stories like you're flying through freezing rain and the pilot's looking out and you can see the ice forming on the wings, but especially back in the day when they didn't have good radar.
I'm glad that we never get to see the pilot and the looks on their faces like when you're going through some turbulence or anything like that. Imagine just how terrified you'd be if on your the seat in front of you, there's a screen that shows what's going on in the cockpit. I'm sorry. I just don't want to see what's happening. I like that they close the door.
I don't think they get nervous that often.
Can I ask you guys a random question about Dan Orlovsky?
Yeah.
Do it.
Orlovsky was wearing on television, I don't know if he's doing it today, but he was wearing a combination of like...
It looked like just a casual jacket,
well,
right?
A dress shirt
with
a hoodie over it and then a blazer over all of that. Like, I'm looking at Dan Orlovsky right now as we speak. What do you guys think of this look?
I like the look. I know it was put together by like a stylist. It wasn't like he just walked out of bed. Gilbert Godfrey is... Hopefully they show Dan Orlovsky here in a second again because Gilbert Godfrey just entered the studio and I don't want him to feel left out of the conversation.
Gilbert, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I... feel the same way, whatever you're talking about.
Well, let's say this.
Oh, there he is. Look, turn around. You see what he's wearing? He's got a...
The guy on the right.
Is that a hoodie?
A dress shirt,
yes.
Then a hoodie, then a blazer on the top of it. I like it.
Like, Gilbert, you're wearing a dress shirt now. Let's say we put a hoodie over you, over the dress shirt, and then a blazer over that. How would you feel about that look?
Oh, that would be real hip-hop, I guess.
It would be.
That's not a dress shirt Gilbert's wearing. He's wearing a flannel shirt.
I'm using it sort of just casually, like a nice shirt.
Yeah. See, this, Gilbert, this is why Mike can't be commenting on fashion things.
Yes. Yeah, this is a dress. I'm formal. Yes.
How often, so you're at the Improv this weekend, obviously. How often are you doing stand-up these days?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every weekend I'm doing something.
Did you ever stop?
No. Yeah. No.
It seems like a lot of, like, old school comedians. I shouldn't say old school, but like if you first make your mark as a comic, whether it's Jay Leno or anybody else, they keep doing stand up.
Well, Jay Leno especially, boy, he's like one of those people. If he gets a 5-minute coffee break, he'll fly somewhere and do a show.
Really?
Yeah, he's
he just can't stop.
Yeah.
Is there something about it where in your career, basically, it's like you need it because it kind of keeps you fresh or keeps you sharp? Is that the draw?
No, I always feel like if someone somewhere is stupid enough to pay me.
So you first started doing it when you were 15?
Yeah, first time I got up on a stage.
What was that 15. Like at 15? I imagine that's a lot.
Yeah, I think it's like I always feel like I had stupidity on my side. Because it's like, you know, you're not thinking of, you know, any competition, the odds. None of that goes into your head back then.
There's something to be said for just not analyzing it before you go in.
Yeah.
Just jumping right in.
Like now, if I were to think about it, I'd go, oh, the chance of making it is so like 1 in a trillion.
Right, right. So. And then people would have told you, like, oh, no, not you, with your voice or whatever. Like, they would have told you all these obstacles. It ended up being your strength. They would have told you that they would be weaknesses.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. But now now it's like I feel like I understand, you know, people who dig through the garbage and find cans and bottles to turn in for the deposit.
How so?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
At least I know, like, oh, okay. I see how that works. Someone finds a bottle, takes it someplace, and gets 5 cents. Uh-huh. I don't understand show business. There's no sense.
You just go from job to job and figure somehow somewhere it makes sense.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried joining us in studio on Mad Radio. What do people think of your voice when you were starting out at 15?
I don't know. Who knows what they thought of anything?
Good points.
Back then. Yeah. I don't really know.
You probably get more, I mean, other celebrities can disguise themselves a little bit, put on a hat or something, but as soon as you, like, order a hamburger, you're made.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hide from your voice.
You know what's a weird case of a person who you recognize by their disguise is Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah?
I've seen Woody Allen a few places, and you know it's him because there's a certain hat he wears, and his collar's turned up, and he's got sunglasses, and it's like, you see that disguise, and it's like, he might as well have a sign.
It's not, like nobody disguises themselves with that body frame and everything other than Woody Allen, and probably by where he's hanging out, too, you could tell, too. So have you ever worked with Woody Allen? Have you done it?
No. That's two things I've gotten my whole career is people telling me, you know who would love you and their movie, you know who would be big fans of yours? Mel Brooks and Woody Allen. And I always think the two people who don't agree with that are Mel Brooks and Woody Allen. Yes.
So whenever I think of you, I think of Aladdin. What was it like being a part of that process and just voice acting in general as well? Because you have such a unique voice.
Yeah, that was such a... Well, that's one of those few times in my career where I said, oh, I actually did some quality production.
Yeah.
Everything else I do, let's see. How to Be a Player, Funky Monkey. Back by Midnight, these things.
You know, my daughter's actually playing in the youth version of Aladdin, and she's playing Iago. Do you have any tips for her?
Yeah, I should. I'll go over. I'll train her. I'll work with her.
I can't afford you.
And I've got my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Yeah, I was taking a look at some of the guests you've had on. So who's like your favorite guest that you've had over the last year? I saw you had Roseanne in September, right?
Roseanne Arquette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, her. I've been amazed by Dick Van Dyke, Carl Reiner, Bruce Stern. Yeah, it's always amazing.
Yeah, and get to sit down and actually have a conversation with them, huh?
Yeah.
Have you had conversations like on a podcast where you realize, okay, this never, we wouldn't have even had this conversation if we're sitting and having coffee. You get into topics maybe that you wouldn't broach otherwise.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like there's people I'd be interested in talking to, but if I didn't have a podcast, you know, why
there's
would
no
I?
Avenue. Yeah, like, yeah. Would you like? I don't know how close you are with Carl Reiner, but would he just meet you for coffee?
No.
But he'd have to do your podcast. Yes, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
And how long do you usually go with them? Do you go an hour, 90 minutes?
Usually hour and a half.
You know what? I think we just stumbled onto a good dating strategy for our friend Paul here to your left. Just inviting girls onto your podcast. Like, if you want to, like, she wouldn't go out with you, but you, like, I find your work as an accountant very interesting. Yeah. Would you go on a podcast with me?
If you want dating advice, I'm the last person.
Last person?
Well, you've been married for a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
How long?
Oh, God. Ooh, a while.
Is it over 10 years?
Is it bad that you don't know the number?
Over 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time in Hollywood.
Oh, yes.
That's people probably look at you like you're weird.
Yeah. I like when, you know, there'll be a marriage that splits up like an athlete and a pop star or beauty queen.
Yeah.
And then people are shocked that there's a divorce. And there's these people out there that start crying. They go, oh, I'm so heartbroken.
Well, I admit I'm one of those people, but I will not cry. But I'll be randomly shocked for no reason, even though I have no insight into what's actually going on. So I'm one of those people, candidly.
Well, what about, okay, let's say Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, weren't they together for like 30 years?
Yeah.
And that, like, so now that's a shocking one, isn't it?
That one, absolutely. That's one of the few that shocked me.
But I guess I know, like, when it's classic, like, A-list Hollywood man and A-list Hollywood woman, you're like, oh, these two incredibly attractive people that spend months apart every year. Can you believe it didn't work out? Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, with those, you feel like if they stay married a week,
I felt bad for Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. I thought they had like a special thing going.
Do you know something I did too? That's so funny you should say that. Because I thought, these two people belong together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is almost like when you hear, like, when your buddy's parents break up that you thought was the perfect family.
Yeah.
You're like, what do I even know about life anymore?
Yeah, when you hear about, like, whatever, an athlete, a pop star, a big actress, actor. Yeah, you know, whatever.
When you see Danny DeVito next time, can you tell him that he broke my heart? Like, he personally kind of, like, dashed my expectations for my own life. Thank you.
Gilbert, can you do us a random favor? I haven't asked the guest this in probably years. It's been so long. All right.
Okay.
So we have a segment every Thursday at 9 called Screw 'em. And the concept is basically people texting their grievances. They'll talk about Houston traffic, the Texans got killed on Saturday, like things people are upset about, right?
Yeah.
Can you do us a favor and say, hey, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I say screw 'em?
Okay. Hi, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I say screw 'em.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes,
excellent.
Yes, yes,
excellent. Yes. We haven't done that one in a while. Gilbert Gottfried, he is at the Improv all weekend long. The two shows tonight, 7:30, 9:45. Tomorrow, 7, 9:30. And then on Sunday at 7:30, improvhouston.com for the tickets. This was a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. And my website, GilbertGottfried.com.
GilbertGottfried.com.
And the podcast?
Amazing. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Wow.
Boom. There you go. Got it right in front of
Twitter
me.
Twitter is Real Gilbert.
Real Gilbert nice. On Twitter. There you go. Gilbert Gottfried in studio on Mad Radio.